This is KGNU's Morning Magazine for Wednesday, March 2nd of 2022. I'm your host, Shannon Young. Thank you for joining us here on listener-supported community radio. Coming up on today's program, the 18th annual Boulder International Film Festival opens tomorrow. We'll hear from the film festival's co-founder about what's on the marquee. As always on Wednesday morning, we'll have Chris Moore's commentary, Make Them Hear You. And then herbalist Brigitte Mars will bring us her regular Wednesday feature, Naturally. A BBC News update is at the bottom of the hour, and then it's the Hightower Lowdown. After that, we'll have the latest episode of History Colorado's award-winning podcast series, Lost Highways. Today's episode looks at an overlooked history of Black community leaders infiltrating the state's Ku Klux Klan at the height of its influence. Then at 9:30, Greg Schultz will be in the Boulder studio to bring you 2.5 hours of eclectic music with the Morning Sound Alternative. That's all still ahead this morning, but first a look at local and regional headlines with KGNU's Rachel Cody.
Three firearm bills opposed by gun violence prevention groups died in committee yesterday in the state legislature. The Colorado House State Civic, Military, and Veterans Affairs Committee voted against the bills after testimony from the Colorado Moms Demand Action volunteers. According to Every Town for Gun Safety, the largest gun violence prevention organization in the country, the bills would have dismantled some of Colorado's key gun safety laws and put communities at risk. The defeated bills would have prevented local governments from prohibiting the concealed carry of firearms on local K-12 public school grounds, allowed businesses to use deadly physical force to prevent minor property damage, and weakened state restrictions to allow individuals to possess large-capacity magazines to compete in state-sanctioned firearm shooting competitions. Every Town's new gun safety law rankings report identifies Colorado as being one of the top 10 states with the strongest gun laws in the country. In other legislative news, Colorado Governor Jared Polis has signed new bills to benefit K-12 education. Steve Miller has more.
Governor Polis yesterday signed bills into law that will increase funding for public schools, make early childhood education more affordable and accessible, and study pay equity in Colorado's public sector. Bill HB22-1197's goal is to assist the new Department of Early Childhood in launching a universal pre-K that should save parents money and serve students statewide with comprehensive and sustainable early childhood education. Bill HB22-1186's goal is to improve how at-risk students are counted and to increase funding to districts with higher numbers of at-risk students. Bill HB22-1196's goal is to achieve pay parity. The bill is to direct a study to assess the pay inequities specific to gender, race, and other protected classes in state departments. I'm Steve Miller for KGNU.
Colorado welcomed its only Black-led community foundation with the Black Business Initiative's launch of the AYA Foundation on Monday. The foundation aims to offer both programming and funds to entrepreneurs and organizations that support the Black community. The launch introduced programs including a 4-week course for business beginners and a coaching and advisory service for entrepreneurs. The term AYA is a West African symbol for endurance and resourcefulness. Debris cleanup from the Marshall Fire has hit a speed bump. A nonprofit corporation named Demanding Integrity in Government Spending has filed an injunction against Boulder County alleging the selection of DRC emergency services to lead debris cleanup violated Colorado's open meetings law. All Boulder County judges have since rescued themselves from deciding whether the DRC contract should be blocked. Meanwhile, two new state laws to assist disaster recovery have been signed, and those seeking federal assistance face a deadline of today to get their applications in. KGNU's Hannah Stewart has more.
Governor Jared Polis signed into law two bills yesterday to move along the Marshall Fire rebuilding process. One will transfer $3.7 million to county coffers for the purposes of property tax reimbursement. The other bill will create $5 million in grants to bolster local fire departments. In related news, today is the deadline to apply for the fire recovery assistance through the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Boulder County residents affected by the fire can apply online at www.disasterassistance.gov by downloading the mobile FEMA app for smartphones, or by visiting the Disaster Recovery Center in Lafayette. Multilingual support for the FEMA application process is available by phone at 1-800-621-3362. For KGNU, I'm Hannah Stewart.
The Colorado Geographic Naming Advisory Board, also known as the CGNAB, is seeking public input to consider recommendations to rename 28 geographical features located in Colorado containing a derogatory term for Native American women. The federal task force launched a 90-day tribal consultation alongside the 60-day public comment period by the U.S. Geological Survey. Both federal task force and the CGNAB will give preference to the replacement names by the tribes, but encourages participation from the general public. Recommendations must be submitted by April 4th. In today's weather, it's going to be another warm, sunny day with a high around 70 and a low of 37 tonight. It looks like this early spring heat will last up until the weekend, with a chance of rain on Friday turning to snow on Sunday, with temperatures dropping back down into the 30s by Saturday. So soak up that sun while it lasts. Outside the Boulder studio, it is 47 degrees. For KGNU, I'm Rachel Cody.
You are listening to The Morning Magazine on KGNU. The 18th annual Boulder International Film Festival opens tomorrow to bring films and filmmakers from around the world to Boulder. It's a celebration of the art and cinema that attracts thousands of film enthusiasts each year. KGNU's Rosanna Longo-Better spoke with Kathy Beck, co-founder of The BIFF, about this weekend's features lineup.
Tell us about the most amazing features that you're bringing this time around.
We have got a great lineup. We are super excited about it. We've got a wonderful opening night film called The Duke with Helen Mirren and Jim Broadbent. And it is an uplifting, interesting story, a little bit of a period piece from 1961 about a high-profile art theft. And we're so excited to have that for opening night. We've got a couple parties and a second line band that lead us in a parade down the street. It's always a fun night, so we are super excited about that. And then our closing film is also a great feature film with one of my favorite actresses, Charlotte Rampling. And she plays this gin-soaked grandmother who has to come stay with her grandson. And they don't hit it off at the beginning, but it's a story of evolving, and it's a story about love and a story about death. But she is just a fantastic actress, and she plays a stellar role, and I wouldn't miss that either for closing night. So that's some of the things. We also have some big names coming into town. We have Alec Baldwin coming, and he's going to be at the Boulder Theater Saturday night at 6. He's our special guest programmer this year, so he's also chosen three films that are important to him, and he's going to be at those screenings as well. You can find those in the program. And then we have, of course, the great Javier Bardem coming, and he's nominated for an Oscar this year for Being the Ricardos, and that was such a fabulous film, and I can totally see why he was nominated. But he's coming to do a special podcast with the Hollywood Reporter, awards chatter. Scott Feinberg has a wonderful, he's an awards analyst for the Hollywood Reporter, and he does a podcast, and Javier's coming to the Boulder Theater, and they're going to do that live podcast on Saturday at 12:30. So we're excited about that. And we have just so much more going on. There's always something for everybody at the festival, but we've got a bunch of docs and some music docs I'd love to tell you about too.
This time around, of course, you're bringing Javier Bardem with the Ricardos. And I grew up with I Love Lucy. So I am super excited about seeing him. And he inspires a lot of us Spanish speakers. But you're also bringing the Song for Chavez that I thought, this is so powerful for our audience here, our Latino audience. And one of the things that inspires me is that you bring features from all over the world with different languages. So that exposes the Boulder community to the international flair, something that for me personally is fantastic. But what will you say to our listeners? Which one is that movie that they cannot miss this time?
Oh gosh, that's so hard. It's like you're asking me to pick between my children, but there are several that I would say are not to be missed. And certainly Songs for César is one of them. It's a fabulous movie because it's not only about the United Farm Workers movement, which is so important, but it's about the music that helped fuel that movement. And so it's got Santana and it's got, you know, Joan Baez, and it's just got all these great players. So I wouldn't miss that. But we also have some other music docs as well, if we're on that. There's one called Stay Prayed Up, and it's about a gospel singing group out in North Carolina that's been around and singing together for 50 years. And it's led by this wonderful woman named Lena Mae Perry. And it just kind of delves into this group called the Branchettes and how they came into being and what they are all about. And they end up making a new album. And there's a white Jewish guy that gets the album together, and he's such a fan, and he plays in the band, and they're all coming out. This movie, I saw it in Telluride at the Telluride Film Festival, and the whole audience was on their feet clapping and dancing, and it was so inspirational. And Lena Mae is in her 80s, and she's coming out, and she's going to perform at the Boulder Theater. That's 3 o'clock at the Boulder Theater on Sunday. I would not miss that. We have another one about Leonard Bernstein called Bernstein's Wall, the famous composer who came up with West Side Story. Many of you may have heard of that. He wrote that, but he was really involved in anti-war movements and civil rights, and he's just got so much depth, and I wouldn't miss that either. That's 3:15 Friday at the Boulder Theater. If you like John Hyatt, another music film, John Hyatt and Jerry Douglas. I think there are a lot of big fans here. There's a film called Leftover Feelings about them making an album at RCA's fabled Studio B in Nashville, and it is fabulous if you like those guys. So Saturday at 6 at Boulder High School. We have an adventure film pavilion this year, and that is really exciting to me because I'm kind of an adventurist, or I think I am, until I saw all these movies and then I realized I'm really not. But really good movies. There's one called Exposure, and it's about a team of international women that ski to Antarctica, and the whole film crew is women. And this is perfect for International Women's Day coming up March 8th. And I really wouldn't miss that. It's at Grace Commons Church on Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And there's several producers that are going to be there from the film and the director. So we're super excited to have them. I would say really not to be missed film is called Refuge, because it's about a man in the South who used to be a white nationalist and was a leader in the Ku Klux Klan and just filled with a lot of hate. And because of family intervention and also being connected with a Muslim man that lived in another community, they become good friends, and it completely changes this man. And it just shows you that that's possible, and it gives you hope and inspiration. And the whole film is so heartwarming and lovely. And we are very excited and honored to have both of the people from that film. That is absolutely not to be missed.
You have everything for every taste this time on this Boulder International Film Festival number 18th. And is there an opportunity for young people to volunteer and continue that tradition of having
the chance
to see movies for free, but at the same time, you know, giving something back?
Absolutely. And we still do need volunteers, Rosanna. So thank you for mentioning that. We have volunteer opportunities available. We love getting youth involved. You do get to see a lot of movies for free when you volunteer, and that's kind of the biggest benefit. But you also get to meet a lot of people, and it's a fun community. And we do this for fun, you know, so we think it's a valuable experience. We still have lots of slots open, and would really welcome anybody to go to biff1.com/volunteer and sign up there. And we'd love to have you.
That's fantastic. Kathy, please tell me why film is so important for people.
You know, we believe that film has the power to change the world. And we do that a lot through our call to action program. We have a lot of films that when you see them, you know, we don't like it when people watch the film and then leave and go, well, that's, you know, a really important issue, but I don't know what I can do about it. So we bring in groups that speak extensively after the films. We select 10 or 12 films that are the most important, you know, call to action films. But what we do is these groups identify 5 action items, and Boulder is an activist community. They want to get involved. They want to know what they can do to change the world, to help make change. And so we feel very strongly that that film can do that. And we do a lot of that through our call to action program. And so, you know, we believe very strongly, not only can be inspiring, even if it's not in the call to action program, it's inspiring, it's educational, it's uplifting, it's entertaining. And a lot of the films we screen, we do try to be uplifting and inspiring. And the Adventure Film Pavilion films do that because they show these stories of adventure and how people have survived and how they get through. And they give you inspiration to do the same thing and know that you could do it. And some of the films in that program are about people with disabilities that are out doing amazing things. And that's inspiring. So we have some great call to actions about those films and some great groups coming in. There's just inspiration all the way around the festival. And those are the kinds of films that we really like to screen. The only last thing I would say is we are doing vaccine checks this year for the festival. So please bring your vaccine cards down and you'll get a bracelet that you can wear for the entire festival. You'll only have to show your card once, but just keep that in mind that we will need to see that when you come, and that masks will be optional. So we hope everybody comes down and has a great time and really gets inspired and educated and meets great people and has a lot of fun. So hope to see you down there.
I have been speaking with Kathy Beck. She is the co-founder of the Boulder International Film Festival, coming March 4th, grand opening Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, a whole weekend of international films, events to share and to enjoy.
We go now to Chris Moore's weekly commentary, Make Them Hear You.
Make them hear you.
This is Make Them Hear You with ideas how you can have your voice heard before Congress. Congress has been inactive in regards to the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The West is penalizing Russia in other ways, though, that Putin did not predict. Recently on Fox News, Condoleezza Rice said that Biden had brought NATO together in ways that she had not seen in decades. Germany's suspension of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, Switzerland with its 900-year tradition of neutrality freezing Russian bank accounts, other financial sanctions against Russian banks, and Russia's debt, which may now go into default, all are already giving Putin headaches. Two of Putin's Russian billionaires have even come out against the invasion. Trump and his base have created a great divide in the Republican Party. Trump has called Putin a genius and thinks our sanctions are like a $2 penalty. Asked what he would do differently than Biden in Ukraine, Trump responded, "Well, I tell you what, I would do things, but the last thing I want to do is say it right now." Fox News' Tucker Carlson claims that Ukraine is of no consequence to the United States, that its government is corrupt, and that Russia is not America's enemy. And last weekend, Representatives Paul Gosar and Marjorie Taylor Greene addressed a rally organized by Nick Fuentes, who has a long record of praising the coming, quote, tidal wave of white identity. While Greene was waiting backstage, Fuentes warmed up the crowd by saying, "Our secret sauce here is these young white men. Can we give a round of applause for Russia?" The crowd cheered and chanted, "Putin, Putin." Later, he added, "They're going on about Russia and Vladimir Putin is Hitler. They say that's not a good thing." Meanwhile, the chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, Senator Bob Menendez, Democrat of New Jersey, said he's committed to ensuring that the United States upholds our responsibility to exact maximum costs on Putin. Mitch McConnell said he wants to see Biden impose the toughest possible sanctions. Congressman Jason Crow, Democrat of Colorado, and Congressman Brad Wenstrup, Republican of Ohio, just yesterday joined in introducing a bipartisan resolution reaffirming the United States' support for a secure, democratic, and independent Ukraine. "Putin's war is a tyrannical, unprovoked act of aggression against a sovereign, democratic nation," said Congressman Crow. "The U.S. must stand with its NATO allies and the Ukrainian people, condemn Vladimir Putin and other responsible parties, and provide defense and humanitarian support to Ukraine." Wenstrup added, The House reaffirms our commitment to work with our allies in the free world and the Biden administration to provide lethal weapons for Ukraine's defense, as well as non-lethal diplomatic, intelligence, and humanitarian support to Ukraine. Lindsey Graham has suggested a supplemental spending package for Ukraine. Both houses have bipartisan support for strong sanctions packages, but have decided to shelve a vote, not sure they would get enough support from Republicans. If you have thoughts on Congress and Ukrainian sanctions, you can contact your congressperson or senators. This is Chris Moore with Make Them Hear You.
It's now time to check in with herbalist Brigitte Mars, who brings us her weekly episode of Naturally.
Greetings. Welcome to Naturally. This is Brigitte Mars. I think it's a good time to share a little bit about natural remedies to overcome depression. Well, when the nights are long and the days are short, as they still are for a little while longer, we might want to make a conscious effort to get outdoors in full spectrum light. We know that light enters our eyes and it affects our brain chemistry. So a little bit of full spectrum light, preferably without your sunglasses on, getting outdoors in the early morning or late afternoon, could be a great way to help your biological clock and lift your moods. According to the principles of Asian medicine, one of the many factors of depression might be liver stagnation. We know that our livers, paired with our gallbladder, is really affected by poor quality oils. So a simple thing we might do is start making our own salad dressing using things like extra virgin olive oil and letting go of those things like canola and soy and safflower oil. The liver also really loves it when we get a little bit of sour. Starting your day with a little bit of lemon and water and including some sour fruits like tart apples, citrus, pineapple, kiwi, berries like strawberries. And we might also think about eating more green leafy vegetables. Eating greens is a discipline. Might not be your favorite color of food, but what can we do to include a salad a day? You know, I also feel that there might be a connection in eating animals that are depressed. You know, our ancient ancestors would hunt and they would kill an animal with respect and eat the part of the animal that they thought would give them strength and courage, maybe the heart or the liver. But what about the effects of eating animals that are depressed and anxious and fearful? So if you do eat animal products, something to think about, because we know that that can also affect us. Sometimes people tell me they really suffer from depression. And another simple thing we can do that we have some control over is wearing colors that are uplifting, colors that are more vibrant, like red and orange and fuchsia and hot pink are all good for lifting our moods. And of course, moving your body. The energy in the liver needs to move. Think of us being more active. Of course, you know, walking, running, yoga, qigong, tai chi. The important thing is that you find something that you love to do and that you stick with it. And even though it might seem that the world is got a lot of stressful things going on, cleaning, paying attention to your feng shui, making your living space more beautiful, more harmonious, bringing some beautiful colors and beautiful objects into your living space can also brighten your mood. Thanks for joining me, Brigitte Mars, on Naturally.
That's all the time we have for today's Morning Magazine. Oh. Special thanks to Rachel Cody, Hannah Stewart, Rosanna Longobetter, Chris Moore, and Brigitte Mars for their contributions to today's program. I've been your host, Shannon Young. If you'd like to make a comment about something you heard on KGNU, you can leave a message on our listener comment line. That's at 303-447-9911. We play those messages back on Tuesday mornings at 8:25. Stay tuned for the Hightower Lowdown.
and then an episode of the award-winning Lost Highways podcast produced by History Colorado. That's coming up after these news headlines from the BBC.
In 2016, amid an epidemic of police shootings of African Americans, NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick began protesting on the field, refusing to stand during the national anthem. Kaepernick's taking a knee spread like wildfire throughout American society. Tune in to KGNU's A Public Affair Wednesday, March 9th at 8:30 a.m. when we speak with sports editor for The Nation magazine, Dave Zirin, about his book, The Kaepernick Effect, which chronicles accounts of activism and courage, both on and off the field, from a broad cross-section of professional, college, and high school athletes and coaches. That's A Public Affair on KGNU, 8:30 a.m., Wednesday, March 9th.
On the next Alternative Radio, tune in for legendary consumer advocate Ralph Nader on Mobilizing People. That's Alternative Radio, Wednesday evenings at 6, right here on Community Radio, KGNU, Boulder, Denver, and Fort Collins.